Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And now, for those fans around the world, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Out of Liverpool, England!
It was super necessary.
Sweet.
Yeah, all good.
How you doing?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Buzzing, man. Buzzing.
Not surprised after Saturday, mate.
Yeah. No, it's been a good weekend.
Not half. Look, we know you're busy. We'll jump right into it, mate. So, first thing we always ask people, first time they're on the podcast, is very simple. How did you get started in MMA?
So I started when I was about 18. I watched a Conor McGregor video, a motivational video across Facebook. And yeah, I watched it and was just inspired. And I thought, you know what, let me get down to an grab a pair of balls, get down to an MMA gym and try it out. And the second I went down to join the MMA clinic where I am right now, I just became obsessed with it. Obsessed.
Yeah, did you were seeing obviously one of the videos and showed that you used to dance for diversity. Were you still dancing at that point, or?
Yeah, so I was dancing and I was actually on tour at the time, and I was in the hotel when, you know, I thought, I watched the video, I couldn't even fight, like, honestly, no word of a lie, I couldn't fight. I got up, I started shadowboxing, and I was like, yeah, let me get down to a gym. Learn how to fight, learn how to do it properly, and I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to go for it and try to get to the top.
Yeah. There we are.
Stop my dancing. I literally called Ash. He called me about 6 weeks after that because I got myself a little bricklaying job with my uncle. And he was like, where you been? Like, what's going on? And I didn't tell anyone that I was going to start fighting. I was like, oh, look, I'm fighting now. And obviously, because back then I was quite little, no one would ever think I'd do fighting. Like, it's quite funny if you look back at it. And I said, like, if someone told me back then I'm going to be a fighter, I probably would have laughed. But nah, it's going the right way.
Yeah, definitely.
How much had changed in you from just within those 6 months from when you spoke to him? How much had changed in terms of your fighting now? How much did you come on in that time?
So I was only doing boxing at the time for like that 6 weeks in between. And then I got to the MMA clinic in December. So my hands improved. I picked it up very quick because I've got good footwork and my hands improved quick. And I have a little gym at the back of my garden with my granddad. So I'd always be in there all the time. I was dedicating my whole time to it. I didn't really have a job then. And then obviously I went and done a bit of bricklaying straight after work with my train. So I was improving quick. I was picking up things quick as a beginner.
Yeah. obviously, as we mentioned there, you know, you used to dance in that. It's like a two-part question. So first, what was that like for you? You mentioned going on tour there. Do you think a lot of that got you ready for like the sort of big stages that you're going to go on to and have gone on to?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like everything I've done in my life, really, like dancing, just performing under pressure in front of big crowds, because you got to remember, Diversity, they were selling out like O2, and they still do now, O2 Arena. So having that pressure and performing in front of thousands of people, it definitely plays its part in this game as well, because like I'm familiar with the pressure. I'm very comfortable with the pressure, as you see Saturday night. And I love it. I thrive off it, to be honest. But it's definitely helped me, yeah. And dancing with the movement and footwork, I could watch something, and then if someone shows me something in the cage, I can pick it up and work, like, very easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned, you know, Saturday was very good for you. You know, 10 seconds was all the pro debut lasted. So, you know, congratulations.
Thank you.
On the massive history-making moment. Mm-hmm. Could that have gone any better in your head?
Do you know what? I don't think it could have gone any better. I did want to throw a little elbow or a knee, but we'll get there on the next fight. We'll get there on the next fight. But yeah, no, it couldn't have gone any better. From the walkout all the way to the end, to the interviews after, everything, it was just perfect. Picture perfect. So yeah, I'm so grateful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is it crazy for you? Like, now your name's etched in, like, into Cage Warriors history. It's your first... Yeah. Fights professionally with them, you know, that, how good is that of a feeling to have made that impact just on your first fight?
Yeah, it still hasn't sunk in, to be honest, but I remember I was doing an interview and Teddy was like, oh, by the way, you got the quickest knockout in Pedro's history. And I was like, yeah, all right, cool. And he went, no, you have. I was like, oh, what? You're mad, like, you know, the feeling, and you're like, oh, fuck, shit, I've actually done that. That's crazy. That's actually wild, like, it's good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, I think, you put him down in 7, but obviously the ref jumping in, that took 10 seconds. So it's like, in a way, you've sort of got like a 7-second knockout as well. Like,
yeah.
You want to look at it like that?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Obviously, everyone loves a knockout. Do you have any part of you that wishes it had gone on a bit longer so you could showcase your skills a bit more?
I think as time goes on and I get harder and tougher fights, I can showcase my skills there. For now, it's just getting a good flashy knockouts and doing what I do best and doing what I can. To be honest, you don't get paid for overtime and nobody wants to get hit in the head. So get hit and not get hit and get out there quick.
Yeah. And
your phone must have been going crazy since Saturday.
Oh, don't. It's been non-stop, honestly. It takes 4 hours to get back from Wales, and I'm not even joking. I was sitting there for 4 hours replying to messages. It's so thick, but it's very long. It's a long process, but I've got to get used to it.
So to go back a little bit then, obviously, in your final amateur fight, you won the Cage Warriors Academy Southeast interim title. Did that feel like the right time for you to then make that step up to the pro ranks after that?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about going pro with my coaches and my team anyway. So I feel like it's just been perfect timing, to be honest. And then obviously I went out to San Diego to train with the MMA Academy. And that was where I really trusted myself and believed in myself that bit more, like with the sparring and the people out there, that I could definitely go pro.
Yeah.
Obviously, you had the proper title, Cage Warriors Academy Southeast title. One point, was after you won the interim one, was there any temptation to stick it out and unify the belts at all?
To be honest, where I fought for the title 3 times, and 2 of them I obviously won, and 1 of them I lost, but I feel like I didn't really need to do much more. Like, it's amateurs, you know, we've got to get to the pros in as quick as possible. You know, that's where the money starts. That's where the real career starts, and I could start taking it more seriously. So that, my focus was on going pro. I wasn't really bothered about unifying the belt or anything like that. You know, I feel like I made a statement in the amateurs as it was anyway, with like the 8-ounce gloves on and getting good knockouts. So I feel like it was time to really to flip the switch and go pro.
Yeah. Guys, go back quickly for a moment. When you talk about like dancing that area, there's a few like athletes that have sort of done things like that. Like, if I'm right, I think Nathan Fletcher done gymnastics when he was younger. Do you think have maybe going into stuff like that as well as fighting like can be a big help for fighters, even stuff like calisthenics or whatever it's called? Like, do you think it can be a massive help in it?
Oh, yeah, 100%, because you get so familiar with your balance and your body weight. Like, I used to actually do calisthenics as well, and that brought my game on so much. I feel so strong from it, like the Olympic rings, even gymnastics. I had to do gymnastics, obviously, with dancing and doing flips and that. You just know your body so well, and yeah, your balance, everything, knowing where to put your weight, understanding movement in your body. That's so important.
So to come back then, obviously you've always fought within Cage Warriors, even coming through your amateur career. You fought on the academy shows.
Yeah.
Do you think it was just always the case that you were going to make it to that main promotion?
Yeah, that was the aim. Obviously, everyone wants to get onto Cage Warriors in the UK and then hopefully soon UFC. So that's what I was looking at. Yeah, definitely. Cage Warriors, Cage Warriors Academy, Cage Warriors, and then UFC.
Yeah. Did you have that set out? When you started, like when you first started, you seen McGregor. Obviously, he was in Cage Warriors. Did you have that right from the start? That's how you wanted to do it.
100%. I wanted to follow the footsteps of him, of course. And funny enough, the gym that I joined with, they have good ties with Cage Warriors. They've got a few fighters on Cage Warriors, so. Knowing that was just the added bonus. I was like, all right, cool. There's no reason for me not to go for this now. Like, all I've got to do is put in the hard work and get myself out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned, obviously, you know, UFC's sort of the next step. Have you got that? Have you got a sort of a plan in mind of when you want to be reaching there?
Yeah, I think it will come in due time, but I want like 7 or 8 fights with Cage Warriors. Get that bantamweight belt, and we'll see, because we don't know what the future holds, but we can only do our best. So we're going to keep working hard, keep training, and then hopefully in a couple of years get that UFC call up after winning the belt or something like that.
Yeah.
So you mentioned it a little while ago. Obviously, you took part in the MMA Fight Academy, going over to San Diego with the Next Gen team over there. What was that experience like for you?
Oh, it was so good, so good. It was an experience that I won't ever forget in my life. You know, meeting all them, the different fighters from different cultures, like the Indonesians, Tajikistan. Like there was all kinds of people there. And to see us gel together and get along with each other was good. Because usually fighters have animosity against each other and they're a bit like standoffish. But we really formed a good relationship with each other. And some of them I would call my brothers. Like, honestly, like I will stay in contact with them for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, what was it like having a few of the UK fighters over there? Obviously, you mentioned Teddy earlier as well. What was that like for you?
Yeah, sick. We had like our own, obviously the English lot was sticking together, but we had some good times out there. It was fun.
Yeah.
Especially in Canada, because we all had to go to Canada and we went to Canada and it was a good time.
Yeah. So you mentioned kind of there being like probably one of the best parts for you, but what was the toughest moment for you during your time there?
I would say because you're constantly beating up the body and we were training so hard out there, so it's more like some days you'd have a mental barrier because we had to do, there was a thing called the stairs of death, right? And we had to run up these stairs and run back down. And on one day, it was like the second week in. That was the hardest. Everyone was trying to prove themselves. And we had to do it like 30 times up and down. And then 20 push-ups in between. It was fucking brutal. Like, it was hard. We done it in the end. But I think that was probably the hardest part. Like, waking up, doing the stairs every morning. It's like, oh, you've got to do it and you want to do it. But it's like, oh, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. As you said, there's that mental barrier in it, your mind.
But to be honest, it wasn't like a burden or anything because we're waking up and we're living a life, we're training. This is what you want to do. This is what I want to do. So it wasn't a burden or anything like that. It was just like, oh, come on, let's get this working. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when can fans expect to see you back in the cage then?
I'm hoping maybe the next San Diego card or the next O2 card. Even Dublin. When's Dublin? Dublin's October, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe. Maybe
October time. You know, I'm just going to keep training, have a little rest, train, get ready for about October time.
Yeah. Good stuff, mate.
That was everything we had for you, mate. Again, congratulations on, you know, on the win Saturday. It's a monumental moment, and to get it in your debut is phenomenal. So congratulations.
Thank you. Cheers. Thank you, brother.
Appreciate your time, mate.
Thank you. Appreciate it, boys.
Take it easy.
Thanks,
guys. See ya.
It was super necessary.
Go now.